Well, happy Monday to you and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Dean Folks. I'm the lead pastor at LifePoint, and we started a brand new series this past weekend called Detours. In this series, we're kind of looking at a more obscure character. Certainly, there are more familiar characters, right, involved with the series, like Jacob and Joseph, but we're looking at the character Judah and this whole idea that God can use even the wrong roads to get us to the right places. We have this kind of myth in our minds sometimes that the people in the Bible are just better than we are, that they're good people, we're not good people, and that's just not true. The people in the Bible are morally complex, just like we are. They do some really good things, and they do some really bad things. And in Judah's case, what we're going to see is that even though he does some really, really bad things, he is used by a really, really good God. So Judah is the one of Jacob's sons. He's Joseph's older brother who chooses, rather than killing Joseph, to sell him into slavery so that he can profit from Joseph's torture. It doesn't really make him any better. It's not a better option necessarily. But what you see in Judah is that he traffics his brother, helps fake Joseph's death, and then for 20 years, he's going to lie to his father about it. And so we talked about how does God use people who are this flawed? And the nature of that question even means that when we ask it, we're assuming that maybe we're not as flawed. So we talked about how sometimes we can see it in stages, this journey, this walk we have with God. First, you're investigating, right? You're not yet a Christian. You're not yet a follower of Christ, but you're investigating. And then you move sometime, at some point you cross the line of faith, you move from investigating to being in. And that means you believe it and you receive it. And but then we said there's kind of another line. It's kind of fuzzy and it's not really necessarily in linear time. It happens differently, it feels like, for different people. But some people seem to move from being in when it comes to the faith to enjoying their faith. New Testament talks about salvation. It talks about it from really three different perspectives. One is a past time action. That's the way we typically talk about salvation. You have been saved. But then there's a couple of verses in the New Testament that talk about you are being saved. That's kind of the tense. Verses like work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We call that sanctification or growing in your faith. And then there's this sense in the New Testament as well that you will be saved. It's this future glorification when everything is complete. You are complete. Your soul that is in right relationship with God is going to meet your resurrection body. And everything is going to be as it's supposed to be. The reason I just pointed those things out is that for a lot of us, I think we get in when it comes to salvation because someone talked to us about hell avoidance, right? They said, well, listen, you don't want to go to hell, right? And so we cross the line of faith to avoid the consequences, but not because we understand that there's a relationship with God that is to be enjoyed. And for some of us, at least, I think we walk around that end phase, that middle phase. We walk around the land of average and inconsistency in our spiritual lives. When we don't settle for that in any other area of our hearts, we don't settle for average and inconsistent. And so I think what I said to our Lewis Inter crowd was, as kindly, as nicely as I can say it, you need to get your rear end across that next line. You need to begin to enjoy your faith. You need to begin to give financially because you enjoy it. You need to begin to read the Bible because you enjoy it. You have to invest enough time in the relationship with God and the fact that he has sacrificed and given his life for you that you begin to love him out of that. And just love begins to become the foundation for change. And we certainly see that, or will see that, in Judah's life. That even though Joseph cried out from the ground, from the pit, when they threw him in there in Dothan, even though you see the worst of the worst in Judah, in his treatment of Joseph, God is going to change him, and he can change him because Jesus is the ultimate Joseph. That just like Joseph came to his brothers in Dothan and they rejected him and they abandoned him unto death, Jesus, the scriptures say, came into his own and his own received him not. That Jesus came to his own people, they rejected him, they abandoned him all the way to death. Joseph was sold as a slave for 20 pieces of silver. Jesus was sold for the price of a female slave at 30 pieces of silver. And so we just talked about this reality, this myth that somehow we have to earn God's love. You know, Mike Ditka, the famous NFL football coach and player, Hall of Famer, whenever he retired from coaching the Chicago Bears at his press conference, he said, you know, as the scriptures say, this too shall pass. Now, that sounds good. The only problem is it's not in the Bible. And there's a lot of things like that, sayings like spare the rod, spoil the child. It's not in the Bible. God will never give you any more than you can handle. It's not in the Bible. One of my favorites is the Lord helps those who help themselves. That was in a Bible, but it was in Ben Franklin's Bible because Ben Franklin wrote it into his Bible. That's nowhere in the scriptures. As a matter of fact, that's exactly the opposite of the Bible. Because we could not help ourselves out of sin, God left heaven in the person of Jesus and came to earth, loved us, gave his life for us to give us a foundation for real transformation and change so that bad people could be changed and used by a really good God. So I'm going to pray that into the foundation of our lives today. And then I want to give you the opportunity to pray that personally into your life. Father, thank you so much that you loved us so much that you are willing to come and offer yourself for us. The greatness, God, of the cross, Lord, is that we see you sacrificing, you giving, and God, that makes us want to do the same. That changes us. And so, God, we just pray that your grace and your love will wash over us, and not just over us, but into us. God, that you will give us your heart, your eyes, and your love, Lord, for other people. God, in a world right now that desperately, desperately needs you, we want to be people who shine your light. It's in your name we pray. Now you take the opportunity to pray.